The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's the cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. I don't, am I being heard okay? It seems as if, Christina.
Yeah.
Maybe it's my headphones.
I guess so. Looks like everything's great.
It could be. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa, Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from downtown Reading. 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and yes, I do have a frog in my throat. Got back from Los Angeles after 3 days of teaching, was doing just fine on Sunday, the last day, thank you, Lord, and then Monday I came down with the bug. Well, we want you to join this continuing soiree that we call Jefferson State of Mind, and I'm here with my producer, the wonderful and lovely Christina. How are you, my dear?
Good morning. Happy Sunday morning.
Happy Sunday morning.
As always, great. Happy that spring is coming. The rain is stopping.
You know, this is delightful. This is delightful. And that's the thing. We really have to start looking at where we go in the future here. I want you to fasten your seat belts. And if you feel free, you call in 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Feel free to call in because we're going to talk about elections and some other things here too. It's been an interesting time we've had here in Shasta County as we look at these different districts. It looks as if in District 2 we have a leader with Alan Long by quite a percentage, and I'll get into that in a minute. And then I believe second is Laura Hobbs, third is Dan Sloan, and fourth is Suzanne Barrymore. When you look at District 2, and I'll kind of take each one of them, and again, feel free to call in, interject, ask questions. I think that maybe District 2 is sort of a microcosm of what's happened in a lot of the elections. Do I think that there may be some corruption going on? Yeah, I do. Do I think that there has been corruption in elections? Yeah, I do. There is one thing, though, when you look at District 2, where Alan Long has pulled off such a phenomenal lead. Could he be leading at this point? Yeah, he could. Because one thing I think that's been kind of overlooked is something that we all call the uninformed voter. Now, that doesn't mean somebody is stupid. It just means that they're ignorant, really, of what the facts are, and I'll explain that in a minute. But when you have somebody like Alan Long, who's been in the community a long time, he was a police officer for 30 years, he's on the Grant School Board, a lot of people did know him. People were all going, well, who's that? Well, District 2 is a district where people have lived in that district, even with the changes, for quite some time. And people remember people who were police officers in a better time in Reading, and Alan Long was in a better time in Reading when he was a police officer. And people remember that crime really wasn't what it was. Our current board, the three of them, God bless them, have figured out something that really, in essence, most boards should be figuring out. That is, it's sort of like we have to fight the state. We have to fight the state with their overreach. I mean, look what they're doing, everything we try to do with the voting machines, with the recall mechanisms, with all the different things that we try to do, crime, we try to stop crime, then they pass another bill allowing it to be even more lenient toward crime. which doesn't enhance the police or the sheriff's department or our businesses. But the one thing I think that Alan Long had is that, number one, I think he knew his district. And number two, I think that in knowing his district, he was looking at reading, writing, and arithmetic. While we're fighting the corruption on the voting machines and we're wanting a Second Amendment resolution and we're wanting a lot of things that make a lot of sense, we're wanting to lower or stop impact fees, we're wanting all these different good things, we're wanting a charter county, etc. Well, all those things are going on, you still have the average folk that on some of these apps that you may get or these different sites you get on your computer, Nextdoor, those kinds of things, people are saying, hey, I'm tired of the bum in my carport when I wake up in the morning. I got my car broken into for the third time this month. My business has been broken into. I live above some businesses in the city of Reading, and my car gets broken into just about every night, so now I just leave it open. And sometimes when I go out to my car in the morning, I find somebody sleeping in there. I see crime all over the streets. I see homeless everywhere. And so that's something that people who are in the general community are really concerned about. I'm not saying this board didn't try to do things there, but in essence, a lot of times their hands are tied. What Mr. Long ran on is crime, homelessness, and hey, we're going to keep an eye on these wildfires and make sure that we can bring all that. And all that stuff is good. The challenge is, though, you can't get more police. Even if you've been a police officer, you can't get more police and have more police enlisted in your county because the police are under the jurisdiction of the city. Most of the homeless camps are in the city. The city has the codes. The city has the police department. The city has the jurisdiction to interpose between those entities we don't want in our county simply because of the size of it. And they have the jurisdiction to interpose and nullify a lot of these things that are going on. Now, am I saying the city of Reading isn't doing their job? No, I'm saying the city of Reading has jurisdiction. So for a candidate to talk about how they're going to hire more police, he has no jurisdiction to hire more police. And, oh, the homeless. Well, yeah, there is unincorporated areas where there's real problems, and the county can't really look into that and do some things and push Health and Human Services to maybe do a little more. A forensic audit would help so that you would know exactly where your money's going, not trying to add this number or looking at this number and saying, well, this number and this number do come up the same. No. What is this spent on? Who spent it? Where did it go? Who received it? And when did it happen? That's a forensic audit. He never mentioned that. And as far as the homeless camps and codes, again, that's the city, the cities. Anderson's done a great job in their city where they have jurisdiction. Shasta Lake City actually has the Sheriff's Department, they have a deal with the Sheriff's Department to where the Sheriff's Department handles their law enforcement. And there could be some input there. But the real deal is a lot of people run on things they can't do anything about. Then they get into office and they say, oh, gee whiz, I never could do anything about that to begin with. Not my jurisdiction. But you don't know that when they're campaigning on those things. I interviewed Dan Sloan and I interviewed Laura Hobbs. They both did a good job in the interview. We've interviewed a lot of people that have ran for office and are running for office, and we will continue to do that on this program. One of the main things I do is I ask the person who's being interviewed, hey, give me the three things you hope to accomplish within the jurisdiction of what you're running for. As running for supervisor, what are the three things you hope to accomplish in your jurisdiction? And I have them text that to me, so that's the way we begin the interview. The challenge that we've had is a lot of the people who try to answer those three questions have no idea what their particular jurisdiction is. I've had people running for supervisor that would say, okay, well, I'm really concerned about the school boards and the schools. Well, that's great, so am I. But your jurisdiction as a supervisor isn't there. If you're an assembly person, I want to hear what you have to say. Laura Hobbs is the only candidate, I would say, that ever gave me such a complete text back on the things that she hoped to accomplish, and there were eight of them, not three. When she did send those back, she understood the jurisdiction of every one of them, and every one of them fit into her jurisdiction as running for a supervisor. That's just a fact. When you look and you go to someplace like District 3, well, you know, we have Mary Rickert, who is leading way, way far ahead, and then you have that dropping a bit. It seems as if Corky Harmon and Wynn Carpenter are sort of running neck and neck. That seems to be going back and forth. There'll be a runoff, I'm sure. There will be a November election. These guys are going to have to go through, whether it's Corky or Wynn. I don't know. But, again, let's talk about the uninformed voter. Many people that have moved here come here from another area, and when they get to some place like Shasta County, it's kind of like Mecca. You know, my youngest daughter and her husband live in San Leandro, and a few years back we went to an A's game, and we took BART. And you're going on BART, and as you go, you're looking on the side of the road, the side of the side area near the tracks, near the run of the BART. Homeless camp after homeless camp after homeless camp after homeless camp. There's crime running rampant in some place like Oakland or San Francisco or Los Angeles. They move up here and they're going, wow, this is the most conservative place I've ever seen in my life. The mountains are beautiful. I love the weather. It's cool. My kids can, excuse me, go to school. They can go to school. I don't have to worry about all the gangs, all that other stuff. It's a better environment. When they get here, it's like Mecca. Again, we have the uninformed voter. What's really going on in Shasta County? Well, I would submit to you that the three members of this board that we have, that has been chastised very much so by the left, have tried to peel back the onion and stop corruption both coming from the state and in the county, and create an environment here for the constituents of Shasta County that they are looking out for the welfare of what we do, and they're going to use every bit of their jurisdiction as a county to stop overreach from the state, et cetera, et cetera. But you get here, and you've been here for a few years, and this is, believe me, some of the greatest citizens we have in this county have been here for a couple of years. Great people, wonderful people, friends, patriots, you name it, great people. But the vast majority is pretty enamored with what they have here compared to what they had there. And you see a flyer come in. And the flyer says, Mary Rickert, rancher, mother, conservative, incumbent, Republican. And she's maybe sitting, I don't know, on a tractor or petting a horse. And you go, boy, I'm for her. Looks like she's been doing a pretty good job. This isn't a bad place to live. Not knowing that there is a whale of things that you're going to see, and once you've been here maybe a couple of years, you've seen a change in crime and in what's going on with the homeless. And you've also seen a change in what's going on politically. You're also seeing the overreach of the state. But this looks pretty good. So the flyer looked good. You got a life to live. You got a business to run. You have a job to work at. Your wife works. You work. You have kids that are going to school playing sports. And you vote for somebody like Mary Rickert on the face value of what there is. Is that wrong or right or indifferent? I don't know. Point is that when that happens, that's how people get voted for it. Yeah, I mean, is there corruption? Is there stuff? Yeah, I believe so. Is there criminal activity with the machines? I believe so. Is there some criminal activity we've had in the ROV office, Kathy Darling Allen? Yeah, I think so. That's my opinion. But as we look and understand what's going on around us, we can't blame everything just on one thing. District 3. That runoff will be interesting. District 4, Patrick Jones. Patrick Jones has been a patriot and fighting for this community forever. Say what you want. He sticks to his convictions. He's done a lot of really great things for the community. He's helped a lot of people in the community. He has saved the community money by not taking retirement, etc. I mean, he's just been a very strong proponent for conservatism. Some of the things and the measures that this board had to take because of this tremendously bad situation we have in our state. I mean, now, if you didn't get the, if you didn't get the memo yet, there's a brand new law that's out. Not a mandate, but there's a law that's out now that, in fact, it's Senate Bill 1383. They want to reduce the amount of organic waste reported to landfills up to 75% by 2025, which means now if you have a banana, you can't throw the banana peel in your garbage. You have to have a separate bag for not only your banana peels, but your leftovers. You know, you have to have it for your bone, your meat bones. Oh, and by the way, also for your soil pizza boxes. Those things are supposed to go now in your green can of all your organic stuff. So, eggshells too, by the way. So I know my wife's going to have a lot of fun separating that stuff. But the reason I even mention that is to get back again that more government overreach, crazy stuff, worse things with crime. Where there is jurisdiction with the Board of Supervisors, they're doing the right thing. I just don't like it when people run on something saying they're going to do something and they haven't got the jurisdiction to do it. There is no jurisdiction for hiring new police in Reading by a supervisor. There is no jurisdiction of pushing a city to enforce the codes that they have jurisdiction over. Is the city trying to do the best they can? I don't know. All I know is you can't blame the supervisors on that. Think about it, folks. If you want to go to a supervisor meeting for supervisor business, or county business, if you want to go, you have to pay the city of Reading to park. That's its jurisdiction over the parking. We have two new things that are being passed here. That is term limits and a charter county. Both of those things do not come into effect until January 2025. I'm going to say that again. Both of those things, if they pass, and it looks like they're going to, it'll be 2025. Which means that the current situation with the Board of Supervisors and their jurisdiction will not help if Kevin Cry gets recalled. If he gets recalled, yep, the governor can go ahead and appoint. A lot of people say, well, you know, he's not going to appoint. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he appoint? Why? Why wouldn't he? And if he doesn't, then we go to what? An election? The supervisors probably wouldn't be able to pick, even if they could at this point, because it would be 2-2. Special election would be the only thing you could do. But we don't have that option anymore, do we? So I think that some of the things we need to be looking at is understanding people who run for office and people who are voters need to be educated in what's going on, where that jurisdiction is. We have to become more educated as voters. Now, the thing is that a lot of people get education, more education, and did I say education? Education of something you need, and then you want something, you want a supervisor, you want a bill being passed, you want an ordinance being passed, you want to have a situation where you're going to have a measure passed. What you have to have is the education of what that is, then a strategy on how to get what you want, and then the tactics to use for the strategy. And I think that's something that we haven't really paid a lot of attention to, and I'll talk more about that probably after the break. But I do want to say that education without strategy and tactics is useless. Richard, how are you, sir?
Morning.
Good morning.
lots happening as usual. Several citizens, we are doing canvassing, which is legal. We are canvassing this election, and we're finding out some interesting things. We've been doing this for several election cycles now, and there's a lot of different topics to talk about. I try to go as quick as I can, but to try to cover the meat of the matter. And so, first of all, I wanted to say Huntington Beach, California, is on Newsmax. Huntington Beach, California, just the citizens of Huntington Beach, which is a charter city, by the way, they just passed Measure A. which is going to allow for voter ID. Yeah, you heard me right, which is also going to allow for cameras over the drop boxes. What a concept. Now, in that Newsmax story, you'll see a link to Attorney General Bonta. I need to come up with a name for him because, anyway, Attorney General Bonta sent them a very threatening three-page letter that says, if you pass this, we're going to basically use the full force of California government to fight you. So that measure just passed. So that's going to be very interesting. And I think the reason I mention that is because we're entertaining that here in Shasta also, by the way. So.
I'll keep you on for a while, buddy, but the only reason I will ever interrupt you is to get clarity on something you said, okay?
Sure.
Okay, so Huntington Beach, Measure A, I was well aware of that. I was down there and I actually taught at the Huntington Beach Golf and Country Club, and I was there for 2 days teaching there. And this had all been discussed. My question is that you just said Bonta, reaction, our Attorney General reaction, is saying he will use the full force of the state to stop them from doing that, from doing a legal ordinance, which they can do. In what particular,
correct,
what is he using, and what does that even mean? I mean, what specifically do you think he can do? Or what specifically is he saying that he could do other than, you naughty little children, you shouldn't do that? Go ahead.
Well, as usual, the liberal argument, which he's a liberal, his liberal argument is very confusing. He conflates a lot of state laws, which even in the aggregate don't prohibit voter ID. Right now, there's no law that prohibits voter ID. Now, there is a bill pending, Senate Bill 1174, I believe, that just got introduced last month to prohibit voter ID. Yeah, big surprise, right? But his letter is very confusing. Basically says you don't have the right to establish voter ID, and the city doesn't have right to put cameras over drop boxes because they could be stepping on the toes of the county elections. I mean, it's just, it's all a bunch of Barbara Streisand, honestly.
So do you just not pay attention? If you're Huntington Beach, you just say, hey, pound sand?
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
You don't ask permission.
I agree.
You don't ask permission, you just do it.
I agree.
But a beautiful thing that charter city is doing the right thing. That mm-hmm. is the right thing for fairness and transparency in an election.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not want fairness and transparency? That's my question.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful thing down there. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I want to talk about some of the things that happened this cycle up here locally at some of the precincts. We're having some of the same problems, and we're having new problems, and this is not good. This is not good at all. And I'll talk at the end about filling out reports and where to send reports for these items. So we had one observer. I talked to them in person yesterday. I won't give the name out. I don't have permission. But we had an observer at one of the precincts at closing when the precinct workers were counting the ballots by hand, manipulating and touching the ballot. This observer was being obstructed and delayed from observing the ballot counting. You heard me right. You heard me right. And this person likely will be coming out in by name soon and telling that story. Those ballots, because they were counted and manipulated by hand without a citizen observer being allowed, those ballots, honestly, pretty much should be invalidated. Because now we just don't know what's right. I was at a precinct. I personally observed closing of a precinct. And I'm going to name it. You want to know why? Because it's public. The Westside Church on Swayze. While those precinct workers were very nice to me, I had no qualms with their behavior. I did have several problems with some of the election activities. The biggest one I will mention on the air, they were not abiding by the rule of two when they were handling the ballots during closing. They were not abiding by the rule of two. And the reason the rule of two is there is so that a second person can witness the counting of the ballots, and then that number is put on a document, and then those ballots are sealed. That was not happening. In fact, one of the five election workers said, hey, should we recount some of these stats? The reason he asked that was because he saw the rule of two was not being followed, and no recounting occurred, and they put those ballots in the sealed bags, and off they went. Those ballots should be invalidated.
Right. Okay. We're going to, can you stay over during the break, my friend? We've got to take a break. I want to hold you over. I have a couple of questions about that, but I want you to continue with this information. Can you hold over?
Yes.
Great. Okay. Well, off to our break, our one and only break. Christina, time has come for 51. Let's get it done.
But please don't ask me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, but I feel fine when I'm near the girl that I love best. My heart beats so it scares me to death when she touches my hand. Oh, what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano and it's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Get ready for a night of musical enchantment with Edwin McCain in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Friday, April 5th. Immerse yourself in the magic of his unforgettable hits like I'll Be and I Could Not Ask for More. Get your tickets now and let the music take you on a journey you won't forget. Tickets include $10 free slot play. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. We got too many gangsters doing dirty deeds,
too much corruption and crime in the streets.
It's time the long arm of the law put a few more in the ground.
I'm all to their maker, and he'll settle on down.
But what if you like beer?
I do love beer.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, anyway, it's really hard to find Belgian or European beer here.
Is it?
Yes, and even Guinness is a bit different than it used to be in Europe.
Well, Fat Tires from Belgium.
But there's a lot of local stuff that's really good, so...
Anyway, we do have a caller on the line, and that is Stones and Stones.
Yep.
So
yep.
We were talking about, basically what the next steps would be. That's what we're kind of all wanting to hear, I think. Most people understand that the criminal activity, and I know you've mentioned that, and you're right about that. A lot of people say anomalies. We don't call it anomalies anymore. It's criminal activity. So the poll worker gets delayed and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and all that happens. And I want to do this kind of briefly because we have another caller on the line. I want to get to that other caller. But okay, so where does that poll worker go to get justice? I mean, You did something bad, really bad. We're mad at you guys. You're breaking the law. You're doing this. Where do we go to get justice, Richard? Where do we go?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why do it if you can't get justice? You're going to get up to bat without a baseball bat.
Right.
So that's
I'll talk about this. Yeah. I'll cover this at the end as far as where how to report, where to report.
Okay, and then
in order to try to get some accountability.
Okay, if you can hang with me 1 second, I do have Wynn Carpenter on the line, so stay with me, brother. And I'm going to bring Wynn on the line here. Wynn, how are you, sir? Wynn, are you there?
Oh, this is Vincent.
Who is this? Okay, Are you there, caller?
Yeah, I'm here. My name is Vincent.
Okay.
Terry, the overall voting volume was too low. It was in the 20%. And whenever a group has an affinity for or a grievance against somebody, they win with a low turnout like that. That's just it, period.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. And we'll go back to Stones here. Stones, what do you think about that comment?
Well, actually, I could not hear him on my phone. In the background on my radio, I think he was talking about the low voter turnout. Was that
yeah, low voter turnout. Yeah, and the voting, I believe that the voting on Voters Day always wins the day or something. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's the topic I wasn't going to speak about because I
okay, no problem. Time, well, why don't you continue
time,
on?
For time issues.
Go ahead.
Time issues.
Yeah, go ahead and continue on where you were.
Thank you. So another issue we had. Do you remember in the June primary? Excuse me, 2022 primary. Kathy Allen separated the Supervisor District 1 and 5 ballots. She said because the public wanted the some separate results, something like that. Mm. And while that's not necessarily prohibited, it's also not explicitly permitted unless you're doing a snap tally. It's called a snap tally. And that has to be approved by the Board of Supervisors in order to separate ballots for a separate counting. It's called a snap tally. Well, guess what's happening right now, Terry? You're not going to believe this. And I got this directly from a local appointed official yesterday. This is a report from a local appointed official yesterday. They are separating the ballots, Terry, at the registrar's office right now. They're separating Democrat and Republican ballots, Terry, before they count.
Okay.
Unnecessary.
Okay.
That's discrimination.
Okay.
By party. That's not necessary.
Okay.
That's additional handling of the ballots, and can I go down the list? That should not be happening.
Okay.
That is ridiculous. And I think there's nefariousness going on. I don't believe this has ever happened here that we know of where they've separated ballots by party. That should not be happening.
Okay. So, again, where do we go to get justice on this stuff? And I know that you're going to talk about what Marley Hornick and what Linda Payne, their push for what they believe is the solution. And I think that's where you want to get to, I think. But, again, it's really bad. It's bad. If they say it was bad, it's horrible. It's bad. It's really bad. If they say it was bad, it's horrible. They're liars. They're liars. And I say they were liars, so what do we do? Where do we go to get justice? And that's what we're kind of all waiting for here. What do we do? Where do we go to beat them to where we have some real teeth, not just another affidavit that nobody looks at, but where do we go?
So thank you for bringing that up, because that is a remedy that is immediately available to us, we the people, at the local level. You mentioned the United Sovereign Americans that were here in town last month and did an excellent presentation on the federal legal violations of the elections processes occurring nationwide, also happening in this county for this very election cycle. So, and the USA folks said, look, they're in violation of federal law, they're in violation of the U.S. Constitution, and they went down the list. And they said, if you choose to not declare, so remember, the registrar certifies the election as true and accurate and then presents that certification to the Board of Supervisors, the law actually mandates that the Board of Supervisors shall declare the winners. However, comma, if you know there's fraud, if you know there's legal violations in that very same election, can you truly declare the winners of an election that that truly has fraud and or lawful violations in it? I say our Board of Supervisors can say, nope, we are not going to declare the winners, and here is why. You have to have the justification, and here's the key, have a solution. The solution here, if we do not declare the winners, is register our voters. We're going to appoint people, could be the Elections Commission, could be an ad hoc citizens panel, whatever, investigators, attorneys, whatever. Kathy Allen, we're going to be coming in, and we're going to be looking, and we can get a court order. We can use the power of the subpoena from the chair and subpoena and or a court order for a contest. And we go in, and we look at this election top to bottom, inside and out, paper, electronic, the entire thing, especially the dirty voter rolls, which result in illegal ballots going out, illegal ballots coming in and being tabulated, and that's the solution. So we do not declare the winners until we have an independent investigation, look at everything, and then we can decide if we want to declare or not. How about that?
Okay, well, what Richard is talking about is California Code 25201, if you want to look it up. It's just a paragraph. That's what Richard's referring to, California Code 25201. And that's great stuff, except that the only thing I would say, again, is that according to one of our supervisors, who I talked to about 30 minutes ago, this has to be done by March 28th. According to the state, it's got to be done by March 28th. Now, I agree with you. We don't certify this. We don't certify it. Okay, I agree with you. That would be a good strategy. And people are saying, well, what happens then? Well, the deal is there has to be something that does happen then, because I think that there is something, maybe we don't know, where the state can say or mandate somehow or even by law, and I don't know what it is, that we would have to certify that vote by March 28th. And I want to come back to that just for a second, because I did find out some things. First of all, the Charter County doesn't take effect when it passes until January 2025, neither do term limits. So I talked to Kevin about this. Nothing changed. I mean, it stays the same until January 2025. So it isn't, and also the way I understand it, if in fact there is a recall and the recall does happen, it would be that Supervisor Cry would probably, God willing it doesn't happen, would be gone by the beginning of April. So I think that I'd like to know really, you know, all this stuff is good, but I'd like to know really and truly. We know we have 25201. And I love you guys for doing it. Thank you, your committee, all you great people, Richard, all the people that are working on that committee. Thank you so much. I guess my question is, again, if, in fact, we have a case, where do we take the case? I know where Linda and Marley are taking the case. They're taking the case to the Supreme Court, if they can, because of lack of representation and also dilution of vote. And also the fact that there's been four violations that we know of, even in Shasta County, that are against federal law, against the United States Code. That's a court issue. What do we do here locally to prevent some of this stuff, and what exactly do we have? Where do we go for justice, and where's the teeth? Go ahead.
Well, this would be uncharted territory if we refuse to declare the winners. And the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, will immediately send a nasty gram back to our Board of Supervisors and say, yeah, you have to do this. The law says so. And then, again, we have to have the justification. And this is uncharted territory. It really is.
Okay, I'm going to –
if they refuse to declare, Terry,
right,
then legally, right, the documents will not be generated to declare the winners. And in that case, everybody stays in office while all this gets hashed out.
Well, okay, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if there's a – if there's any teeth to that. I don't really think it'll just be a nasty gram. I think there'll be some teeth, but stay with me, my friend. Lee, yep, you're on the line. I think that's your name. Now, let me explain something about the board. The board, a lot of times, we can't really see.
I don't know if there's a...
And also, whoever's on the line, please turn off your radio.
It's off.
Okay, so it looks like Lee, is that the correct name? That's what she wrote on here. It may not be.
Yes.
It is the correct name. Go ahead, sir.
I stop at Rayleigh's a lot, and when they were doing that recall petition for Kevin Cry,
yes,
they asked me to sign it, and I said, well, I don't live in District 1.
Okay.
I'm in District 4. And they said, well, that's okay. You can sign it anyway.
Okay.
I said, well, I'm not signing it.
Okay.
So I think there was a lot of dishonesty going on in regards to the recall for Kevin Cry, but I don't know how anybody would prove something like that. But it's just something that I think people should know, that they were getting some names on there that did not belong on the petition.
Right. I think that there probably is that, but I think that a lot of that's been caught. Again, you know, there's a couple things we have to take into consideration. One is that when we decide we're not going to, if we do decide, we're not going to declare, you know, and certify this particular vote, there is, I know that there's something other than just a letter of idle threats. There is maybe something somewhere in the law. Now, if there isn't anything, I'd be extremely surprised that the Secretary of State and the Attorney General could actually send you something that has no teeth to it. I would think there is something there. I'd like to know what that is, if there is, or maybe there isn't. But I'm not so sure that this is really... It seems as if we have a lot of things we want to do, but we're having a hard time with that one simple question. Where do we go to get justice? Is the deputy going to help us with this information? Are we going to actually have people look at this? Is this going to... Can we get a temporary restraining order and a preliminary injunction to stop everything in its tracks? I mean, maybe, is that what we do when we don't certify? Can we get a PI to stop it, nothing can happen? And so that would be my question. So Lee, thank you for the question.
When we have a dishonest governor and
right.
all the people underneath him,
right.
nobody wants to do anything.
Right.
There's no accountability.
Right. Well, I wanted to direct that question to Richard Lee. Thank you so much for the call, sir. Have a wonderful day. And Richard, what say you? Richard.
I'm here.
Yeah, what say you?
Well, I have an answer to where we get justice.
Good.
Some people aren't going to like it. They're not going to like it.
Go ahead, buddy.
We do not live in a judicial oligarchy. We
yes.
live in a constitutional republic.
Correct.
Why are we waiting for a judge to tell us what we can and can't do? Come on. Read the book from Mark Levin, Men in Black, talks about how we do not live in a judicial oligarchy. The power belongs to the people. It's in the California Constitution, right? Political power inherent in the people. We don't ask for justice. We seize justice. We take the justice back. We
okay.
do not ask permission.
Okay.
We do it.
Okay.
We just do it.
Okay. What mechanism do we use?
Representatives.
What mechanism do we use?
It's in place. We have a board of supervisors in place. That's
okay.
the mechanism. They do it. They put voter ID. They take control of the local ballots and the local races. They just do it. They just do it and say, sorry, this is ours. This is our power by the people. And this is what the electorate in Shasta County desires.
Okay.
There's even election code referencing that, what the electorate wants as far as the elections processes and systems. I mean, we just take it. Now, yes, they will sue us. They will do everything else. But that's okay. Let them sue us, because then what happens? Disclosure.
Okay.
Now we will get all the elections records, everything, and we will prove the fraud in a court of law, and they don't want that.
Okay, where do we go in that court of law? We would have to go, I would guess, to the Supreme Court. We have 32 Democrats in our Senate. We have 63 Democrats in our Assembly, which means in our Senate we have 8 Republicans and 17 Republicans out of 80. 63 to 17, 32 to 8, and the spawn of Satan is governor. So, they can pass laws whenever they want because we don't live in a democracy. And the things that they have, the laws that they passed, and you know this, Richard, because you fought your as you always do. You're fighting very hard for our kids in schools. These are laws that they've passed. You need a referendum to overturn that, because even if you go to a court, they're going to tell you that. Even if you go to court and you know, well, these guys are liar, liar, pants on fire people. But even if you go there, that's going to happen. I guess my question is, and I'm not saying I disagree with you, that's for sure. I'm not saying I disagree with you. The Board of Supervisors maybe has to take this up a level. Maybe it does have to be kicked up a level. I think that they've been trying to do that, but I think that they forgot about the reading, writing, and arithmetic. And maybe not forgot about it, but that was always an underlining thing. What about the crime? What about the homeless? And what about the wildfires? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. Those things were addressed, I think, but maybe not addressed as a lot of the uninformed voter, which makes up about 80% of us, believes. And so these other fights that we have, even as it's for everybody's own good, it really is for everybody's own good. But again, we have to have, if we have a sheriff deputy that has this information in front of him about false people having ballots that addresses don't exist, the people are dead, etc., what the hell? Why aren't they looking at this stuff? Why isn't the sheriff's department looking at this stuff? And if we go to the DA, well, go ahead.
I'm sorry, because I know we're getting short on time. So, and I'll have a short announcement when I'm finished. But, you know, if we keep playing in this box of tyranny that continues to get smaller and smaller and is crushing us, what do you think is going to happen if we stay in this box? We have to, and I hate to use the cliche, but we have to act outside the box. We have to just do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but what does that mean? That's
and,
the thing.
And then,
I mean,
we do it. We pass the power. I've already mentioned it. Our
right.
local Board of Supervisors, conservatives, pretty much constitutional. Our conservative board majority, I believe, have a decent grasp of constitutional sovereignty, local control, all that. You just pass, you vote things, ordinances, resolutions. You just.
Well,
do
okay.
It.
I want you to hold your thought because we have a caller and I want to get her in. Okay. Janet, how are you, my dear? What say you? Janet, are you there?
I am here, yes.
Okay.
One quick comment. People are always complaining about government. They complain about what happens at the county level. If you want to see the problem, look at the hypocritical voters. The latest I saw was a margin of 75%. They voted four term limits and then turned around and strongly supported a third term for Mary Rickert. What is wrong with you people? Either you want term limits or you don't. You can't have it both ways. Look at the inconsistencies of the voters. If we can't get our act together, how do we possibly expect any public officials to do the same thing?
Well, you know, Janet, you hit the nail on the head, and it's so true. And again, it goes back to that uninformed voter. You're a very informed voter, a very informed citizen. You know what's going on. You know the Constitution inside out, upside down, and backwards. And you know those different things. And a lot of people know that. It goes back to the fact we have to have some training here with education, but then strategy, and then tactics to use the strategy that you have learned from the education that you have been taught. And I think that we're missing...
It doesn't take education to realize that if you want term limits, you don't elect someone to a third term.
That's ignorance.
You had two viable candidates
right.
there, too, and of course there will be a runoff.
Right.
But why would you vote for someone for a third term and on the same ballot vote for term limits?
First of all, the term limits don't come even into effect till January of 2025. And I think that...
Right, but it's...
No, I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying that what's happening with that is people are ignorant of that. They, you know, oh, yeah, I want term limits, and oh, yeah, I want the incumbent. Oh, yeah, I want Mary Rickert. It all goes back to the ignorance of what you just said. I mean, it's not hypocritical. I think it's just... either naivety or ignorance. I mean, what the heck? You're right. How can somebody vote for somebody when they're voting that they want to limit their terms? How in the heck can you even do that? And you're right about all that. But people.
And I myself am a strong opponent of government-imposed term limits. Term limits should come by the voters at the ballot box. I don't want the government telling me for whom I can or cannot vote. So I did not vote in favor of term limits, but there's such a disconnect between wanting one thing and voting another way. So people, think about what you're doing when you vote schizophrenically on that ballot.
Agreed. That's a great point. That's a great point, Janet. Remember that 93% of the incumbents in the state of California get reelected. That's a fact.
They do, and we have term limits in California, and I don't see that they're working very well.
No, I think that maybe we have to be looking at splitting the state. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. Somebody ought to look into that.
I know a really sharp lady that can help with that constitution. In fact, oh, wait, she already has.
Somebody ought to write one.
Jenna, thank you so much.
I have one that's sitting here unused right now. Maybe they'd like to look at that. So I will wish you a very happy good morning and make sure your clocks are all reset.
Oh, they are. I got up in plenty of time this morning.
Good. I will talk to you later.
Thank you, Janet. Richard, so you had some closing thoughts there. Richard, are you still there? No more Richard. Okay.
Yeah. What? Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, you are? Okay, well, then okay. Well.
So as a quick aside, I know we're almost out of time, but Cato Institute about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, did a very thorough a paper on term limits, a really, really long paper, exhaustive. So look up that up. It's a really good information. Hey, so my quick announcement is, and everybody get ready to write down some information. If you had the following problems, and then I'll give you some contact information. If you arrived at your precinct and told you were voted and were given a provisional ballot, that's problem number one. I'll ask you to contact me. If you saw something at the polls or any election-related issue that concerns you, that's point number two. Point number three, if you've ever been refused to work as a poll worker in Shasta County, that's point number three that I'll ask you to contact. Let's see, that's it. So here's the information. So contact me, rjgallardo@protonmail.com, rjgallardo@protonmail.com, or 962-5168.
962-5168. Nope. Is there an area code for that?
It's local, 530.
Okay. So anyway, you can take your time and repeat that one more time, my friend. You go ahead and take your time so people get it. Go ahead.
Sorry, rjgallardo@protonmail.com.
Perfect.
530-962-5168. Also, go to eip-ca.com, Election Integrity Project. Download their citizen incident statement, fill it out, copy it, make copies, get one to me, get one to EIP. We need to document this stuff. EIP is doing great work, in the courts.
Yep.
Yeah. But I appreciate the time, Terry. I know we're just about out of time.
All right, my friend. Well, thank you, Richard. Well, folks, I think that there's been a lot of good discussion today. We really have to understand some things as far as a lot of these things with the term limits. That is going to be happening January 2025. It does not take effect until then, as the Charter County doesn't take effect until 2025 January, which means that if something does happen to Kevin, God forbid, that we would have the governor could appoint. He's going to appoint. I am so tired of that. Oh, we wrote him a letter. You think that's going to matter? Really? You know, I mean, he can leave it at 2-2 for a while. That'd be fun for everybody, right? But the thing is that we have to really be looking at what is going to be going on with this county. I mean, do you want your liberty or not? What's important to you? Is your freedom and your liberty and your rights important to you? Or not? Or is it just we'll follow along blindly? Or maybe people are out there and they just don't like the status quo of what they have now and they believe that they need to have a change. I think that if this current board is given more time, I think that a lot of the issues, including the jail, which is a very important issue, will be addressed. So with that, bless you all. Time has come for 51. Let's get it done. Don't serve us.
House. Brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.